Computer users got a so big headache this past week as a software virus named SoBig.F infected machines around the world. Email and internet service slowed to a crawl as computer administrators worked to protect their systems from the worm. Friday afternoon, security experts and law enforcement officials prevented a further attack contained in the virus's code. Another attack is threatened for later today. Charles Duhigg has been reporting on the SoBig worm for the Washington Post. And he's in the studio. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Describe for us what this SoBig worm is programmed to do every Friday and Sunday between 3 and 6 p.m. until September 10th.
As of now, that's what we believe is going on based on what experts are telling us. This is a worm that goes out that's able to, over email and through file servers that computers share, propagate itself into systems. And in doing so, it has embedded in it some encrypted code that has told it until September 10th, every Friday and Sunday at a certain time, to go and look for 20 specific computers and access a website that it tells them to go to. Luckily, some experts were able to discover this in time, and so what they did is they went out and they were able to disconnect 17 of those 20 computers before 3 o'clock on Friday. Three of them were still online, and one of them actually sent a website to the infected computers telling them to go to a pornography site. But until that point, nobody actually knew what was going to happen at 3 o'clock on Friday. And that's what was particularly scary, is that almost anything could have happened if, in fact, all those computers had been online and the infected computers had gone to them and executed whatever command had been sent.
How did security experts stop what happened on Friday? I mean, how did they discover how to stop it?
They went through the worm, and they looked at it, and they found one particular part that was very densely encrypted. And they decided to focus in on that, and by breaking that code, they were able to see what the instructions were and then contact authorities and ask them to take those computers offline. But what's important is that these 20 computers weren't big mainframes and they didn't belong to IBM or some big company. They were just home computers that had been set up by someone remotely to serve as sort of an infection vector that would command other computers on what to do. And in fact, that's how the worm started in the first place, was through a computer that his user and his owner had no idea that he was the source of the infection, to the best of our knowledge right now.
A subpoena was served this past week to an internet service provider in Phoenix called EasyNews.com. What role did this company allegedly play in the spread of SoBig?
Allegedly, this is where SoBig began. Another computer that, again, was taken over by an author went to this user group and put on it using a stolen credit card number and using an account that was set up minutes before the infection was actually launched, set up on an adult news group a pornographic picture. Anyone who clicked and downloaded that pornographic picture was infected by SoBig.F, and from there it propagated throughout the entire internet by accessing people's addresses books and sending an email to every single address book in it.
How optimistic are officials that they can actually trace the virus to its source?
I think that there's almost no optimism that they can trace it to its source at this point. Things may change, and there are always things that we're not told, so it might very well be that they are able to target who did it. But the problem with the internet is, because of the very architecture of it, it's designed to be something where you can do something remotely. And as a result, it's almost impossible to say where something started unless we have, you know, clues or some additional information.
This isn't the first version of SoBig. Are experts, those who deal with viruses, worried about the creation and spread of variants on this SoBig worm?
There's a great deal of concern. SoBig actually began in January with SoBig.A. The one that we saw this month was SoBig.F. Every single iteration has been different somehow. SoBig.A wasn't very successful. It relied upon the email programs that were on users' computers. SoBig.F was so successful primarily because it had an email engine within the very worm itself. The big concern, of course, is that someone's out there testing how to do this right. One of the experts that I talked to said, put it this way, this is a proof of concept test. They're trying to figure out with each iteration how to do this a little bit better, how to get it to spread a little bit faster, until finally they have it perfect and they're able to go out there and do something truly malicious with it. There's a lot of people who have said that they didn't actually, that probably the virus author didn't expect SoBig.F to be as successful as it was. And so as a result, perhaps now we can block further iterations of it. But if we can't, there's a real big possibility that we're going to see more malicious codes in the future. If someone had designed MS Blaster or had designed SoBig differently, we could have seen credit card numbers stolen off of personal computers. We could have seen half a million to a million computers rendered essentially useless through malicious code that destroyed the hard drive or made it impossible to access without significant programming.
Very pessimistic.
Well, I think it's the cost of, I think, and in some ways, the interesting part of living in sort of a brave new world. With every single type of technology that comes along, there's amazing freedoms associated with it. But at the same time, there's also amazing responsibilities that those freedoms carry. And we understand that in a lot of other realms. We're just beginning to learn it for the first time when it comes to technology.
Charles Duhigg is a reporter for The Washington Post. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.